I just have a lot of questions, lots of questions, and it seems that when I read this morning, all this did was confuse me even more. I'm going to breeze through this because I didn't ask anybody to do it, so I'm just going to kind of flip right through it as quickly as we can. Chapter 10, verse 1 of Luke. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So he's going to send out 72 disciples. Now remember, there's times he sent out 12. Here he's sending out 72. All right? He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You, is implied, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, he says. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. How many are excited about that? Gee, thanks. If you were a lamb, would you like to be sent out into the wolf environment? Not me, no. But he says, that's what I'm doing. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the other road. Do not take a purse, bag, or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. In other words, do the job. I'll take care of you as you go. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Stay where you put. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. I guess this is where we get the rule, kids. Eat what's in front of you, okay? And don't complain, because Jesus said it twice. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. I don't have any problem with that. I mean, he's saying, look, shake the dust off. Say, look, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I've told you what I need to tell you. There's a definitive finish there. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! These are towns where they refused to believe in Christ when he went. For the miracles that were performed in you, had they been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Implication? There are degrees of hell. Just like there are degrees of heaven. Degree of reward, degree of punishment. The better you are, the better the reward. The worse you are, the worse the punishment. That's what it says. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. Verse 16, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he said, look, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy and the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. How many here know God? Okay. How do you know God? Jesus revealed him to you. So when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know God and they want to argue with you, they don't know God because they don't know Jesus. So what are we supposed to do? Give him Jesus. Yeah, exactly. You got that? Okay. All right, where was I? Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You probably heard Jesus say that. He was mirroring it back to him. "You have answered correctly. Ding, 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 you win the prize," Jesus is saying. "Then go do it." Uh-oh. "Do it and you will live." But the man had wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor that I'm supposed to love?" This is the trick question. In reply, Jesus said, "There was a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed over on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, read it with me, "Go and do likewise." Go and do. I guess if you're going to argue with Jesus, you probably shouldn't argue with Jesus. Because you're going to get that. Do what I say. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Thanksgiving's coming, right? How many are hosting a dinner at your house? Oh, man, you guys are lucky. Mostly, if you said, look, turn around, stand up here. Go ahead, stand up, turn around. Look. How many of you are hosting a dinner at your house? Do you see this?
I don't know. I'm Southern.
No. You haven't found friends. You know how much work there is. It's like, what? Well, you know, everybody, how many are here? Now, wait a minute. Hold on. How many here are having turkey on Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. Yeah, see, it ain't the turkey. Yeah. You get stuck doing the cooking, you didn't plan well, I guess.
We all help each other.
That's exactly right. Martha had a sister, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and said, and asked, "Lord," sure, this is how she sounded, "Lord, don't you care? My sister's left me do all the work by myself. Why don't you tell her to give me a hand?" Jesus replied, "Martha, Martha." How many of you got in trouble as a kid? Your parents said your name twice. You know? You say your name twice, you're in big trouble. Martha, Martha. What's that?
Your full given name.
Yeah. The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." I guess Martha just been done told, didn't she? Exactly. All right. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Kids can go. Get her done. see the boys because he's been working for like a month straight every day. And so he says, why don't you come over? I haven't seen you in a while and spend the night. And I said, okay, sounds good. And he's got the green egg there, you know. So he's master of, you know, like you, he's cooking all the time. So he's going to cook a pork butt, which is good, you know. So come on up. We'll have Colt, my other son, lives right around the corner. We'll have him come over. We'll just have a little time together. I said, sounds good to me. So as soon as my wife got home, we had everything prepared, ready to roll, got all the stuff they asked for, loaded it all up, and hit the road. You know what traffic is like on a Friday afternoon, right? It's crazy heading north up there. So we can, but I'm on the road and the phone rings, and it's my other son Colt, and he's like, hey Dad, I just want to know what your plans are for Saturday. I'm like, what do you have in mind? He says, well, you know, your two granddaughters have a basketball game, and so if you'd like to come and watch them, that would be kind of cool. And I'm like, okay, so what do I hear? Your two granddaughters are playing basketball, and they want me to show up and watch them play. Okay? All right. So we get up there, and we did everything right where we were supposed to. We had fun with the grandkids and everything. Saturday morning. We all get together and we head on down the road to the church because it's a church group, and they're having a big old basketball thing. Their outreach is that they're using a facility like we've got here, which we'll be doing too eventually, I believe. They have basketball hoops in there, and then they invite a lot of kids to come in. They do basketball stuff to try to bring young kids in. And it just so happened that my son Colt had gone to the pre-meeting for these basketball games, and somebody had made the statement that they were going to be coaching this one team, and they needed an assistant. And so my son Colt, very athletic, he's like, "Yeah, I'll volunteer to assist you." And week one, the coach quit, which made Colt the coach. And not only that coach for his youngest daughter, the other coach for his oldest daughter quit too. So now my son Colt is now coaching two basketball teams, and these are little girls. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand reality, but I'm watching this, and I immediately feel bad for my son, because these girls have absolutely no clue what they are doing. Two of them have this habit, and immediately I go back to when I was a kid, if you throw the ball to me, I am going to dribble it all the way down around your opponents 50 times, and I am going to shoot the ball. Every time they made it halfway down and the other team member came in and stole the ball from them. Throw the ball to them again. Boom, 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 boom. You can tell their directive. I am going to dribble all the way down, and I am going to shoot the ball. That's because I am important, and I want to shoot. You see how that goes? And it's not a surprise, and I'm not picking here, but it's not a surprise that both teams lost horribly. You know, but it wasn't because my son's a bad coach, because I know he's a great coach. It's just that they don't listen well. The goal is to get the ball, all five of you people on your team, to work together, pass, go down the field, go down to the court, and shoot the ball and get the ball through the hoop. That's the point. You get points if you do that. You don't get points for dribbling fancy. If you can't catch the ball, you're probably not going to get it passed to you. Now, you might think, you know, well, they're pretty harsh on these kids. They're just little kids, which is why I never coached anything when they were real little. I waited until scouts when the kids were older, and then I could get in their face and say, what are you thinking? What's the matter with you? Which is why I met some people this week who were in middle or in high school. And once again, you know, I got drawn to them, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. You going to school yet? Where are you going? Pine View. Pine View. Oh, that's a great school. Yeah, I know all about Pine View. What are you going to do when you graduate? Pine View. You know, whoo, smart. I don't know. What grade are you in? 11th. You know, I just want to... It's like your life's over. I mean, nowadays it's very difficult. If you don't have a plan, by the time you're a junior or senior, you're done. You know, it's like all these other people have already taken the spots that are there. Goal-oriented people. Afterwards, I went up to Colt and I said, you know, son, I'm really sorry. And he was so frustrated. He started venting to me. You know, I just don't understand. These girls, they get the ball and all they do is they dribble it down. They don't even dribble it well and they shoot it and they can't even shoot. And I'm like, got it. Do you see the frustration? Now, I'm not trying to tell you, and this story is not about young girls who don't know how to play basketball. We all have to learn. But it is about coaching, leading, and following. So we have a little taste of what's going on here, and I can just say to you as a pastor, it is a huge frustration for me. Because Jesus is frustrated. He sends 72 of his disciples, who he's been handpicking and carrying, and they grew from 12, and now he's got 72. He's got a whole bunch of them following him. He sends them out and tells them, look, I don't want you to worry about how much it's going to cost. Just go. I don't want you to pack any bags. Just go. I don't want you to prepare anything. I just want you to go into the towns where I'm headed and let them know that peace is about to come to this town and you are going to be there heralding that message. If they listen to you, great. If they don't listen to you, shake the dust and go to the next one. Whatever they give you, eat. Don't worry about how fancy the food is. If Peter gets a filet mignon, yay for Peter. If you end up getting a ham sandwich, just eat it. Relax. Just go. This is the mission. This is the goal. Pronounce that I am on my way. The kingdom is about to arrive. Then when it's all said and done, they all come together for a little wampum. They come together for a little powwow. They come together and it's like, hey, man, you should have seen what we did. Yeah, well, what you did, you ought to see what we did. We were able to cast out demons. Yeah, really? Well, let me tell you about the demons we cast out. Well, yeah, well, we healed a bunch of sick people. They're not sick anymore. You know, they're comparing notes about how great they were. And Jesus, you can see, I love the Halloween commercial for Geico or whatever is the one where the kids are running. They're running like a spooky house. And it's like, where are we going to run? Where are we going to hide? And they're like, let's go here. Let's go. And the girl goes, why don't we just go into the running car? You know the one I'm talking about, you know? And then they find themselves, no, let's hide behind the chainsaws. I love every time I see the guy's face, you know, he's just sitting there. He's got the mask up on top of there. He just kind of goes. I can see Jesus doing that. I know what that feeling's like. Because even to this day, I've been doing this all my life. Even to this day, I find myself going, where are we going to run? What are we going to do? How are we going to get it done? You know? And I'm going like, you idiot. Why don't you just pay attention to Jesus? And then I see people who are running around and like, what are you? And I say things to them like, where were you? What are you doing? How come you're not here? What's going on? You know, and then I got it prepared for some stuff in my ear coming here, which I really don't want to hear. Look, let me just give you a little side note. Before we have a meeting, whether it's Wednesday night or whether it's Sunday, do not text me and tell me why you're not coming. I don't want to hear it. Please don't. You know, I get this. It's like, well, I'm not really feeling well today. I don't care. It's okay. Just surprise me by not showing up. It's all right. But I don't need to hear the excuse. You know what I'm saying? It's okay. But there's a lot of people who like to do that. I can make it here. I can make it there. I can make it here. I can make it there. They tell you how life is busy, but they can't show up at the main event. That's why I love you guys. You show up. You show up. Show up. What do you do with a bunch of people who don't have their eye on the goal? You have to keep on going through the basics. We are the presenters of the peace of God. I hold, you hold the secret to heaven. Do you hear that? You hold the secret to heaven. It's just like Jesus said, into your ear. And then he says, you don't have to keep it a secret, just go and tell everybody. And instead of spreading that out and going, we just kind of go, I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know, I'm embarrassed. I don't know if I have the capabilities. Hey, it didn't bother those girls that they didn't know how to dribble. They just kept trying. And they kept losing. Well, they kept trying, so you got to give them that for chutzpah, right? We are called to go out into the world to proclaim the gospel. Jesus turns around because now it gets converted into a question-answer thing, because one of the people that are there, one of these Pharisees, they decide they want to trip Jesus up, because instead of seeing him as the Son of God like he's supposed to, they see him as an obstacle because he's taken away their power and their authority. And so what do? They just start questioning him, and Jesus tells them the story about the Good Samaritan. Now you remember the Samaritans. The Samaritans are like illegal Mexicans. Let's just say it, okay? They were in between the kingdoms when the kingdom divided the northern tribes and the southern tribes. These northern tribes went up and they started intermingling with the Assyrians and that kind of thing, and started having babies and marriages to that, and they ended up living in the northern part of the kingdom. And so they weren't really wanted by the Jewish people because they were half-breeds. There are people who are like, they were looked down on. You know, like back in the 50s and 60s, like black people at the time. Okay? Looked down on them because they're, you don't measure up to our scale. All right? So Jesus starts telling the story, and it's intriguing to me that he starts telling the story and he throws in a Levite. And he throws in like a lawyer there. You know, it's like, okay, these guys are going down. And instead of moving over to help the person who was in trouble, who was beaten, robbed, and left for dead, they cross over to the other side. In other words, they deliberately go around to avoid the situation of the person who is dying. Who's dying in our world? Almost everybody you see every day. They're lost. They're dying. They're on their way to somewhere that you don't want them to go, even if they're your worst enemy. And he brings up the point of the Samaritan, the half-breed, the unwelcome one who comes in and assists. And not only assists, carries and puts him on his donkey, carries this wounded person to a hotel, and then says, look, care for them and I will pay the way, whatever's left. Gives them 2 days' worth of wages. That's pretty big. So he's praising the action, not the ethnicity of the person. It's not surprising to me, because if you read the entire book of Luke, everything is about doing, 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 doing. Are you going to do what I ask you to do? First off, it's 70-some people. Now we got a bunch of people who have the opportunity, and it gets right down to where Jesus goes to Bethany. And you know Bethany. Bethany is the hometown of who? Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Two sisters and a brother. They live in Bethany. This is before Lazarus was raised from the dead. But back in the day, they didn't really have a whole lot of inns and hotels. Jesus usually made his spent the night at people who would have him. Okay, so whenever he was anywhere near Bethany, he always stayed at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. So while he's there, we see this thing happening where Mary and Martha are now preparing dinner. It's about dinner time, and they're supposed to be doing the work to feed everyone. Now, it's not just Jesus. It's his disciples.
And it doesn't say that he only had 12 with him. We just see that he had 70 of them before. There could be a whole host. How would you like to be asked to throw a real quick dinner for like 80 people? Would you like to be really excited about that? I know all I can say to you is if that happens, we know Brett. Brett works at Publix. He knows people. Okay? He knows people. But for the most part, could you imagine have to pull together when you're poor and you don't have any stores to go to, a dinner for that kind of people? You can imagine the amount of work that is involved in making. Because when you've got Jesus, you know, he's important.
You're just not going to bring out hummus and crackers. All right?
You want to do something that's going to be nice. So you can see how the involvement is. And I'm going to tell you, I know Gwen real well. And I know Gwen just doesn't go down to the store and just buy anything on sale. And then as they come in, throw it out on the table, say, that's all we got. And when it's gone, too bad. She's going to decorate the house. She's going to prepare everything. She's going to make sure. She's going to go through the list, check it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. She's going to make provisions for people who maybe have a special need of some kind, like James. But see, that's interesting because she cares. That doesn't mean you people have found some way to slough off Thanksgiving don't. Hey, I don't like turkey. I don't even care. I don't like turkey. It doesn't matter to me. But, you know, it's fun to get together with family, isn't it? But now all of a sudden we go this whole big crowd of 72 people he sent out to where now he's going to be focusing on just two people, a very small group of people. As you know, Galen was here last week, and we prayed for him that he would have a safe journey up to Georgia. He was going to go hunting up there, and he likes to hunt, and he doesn't. He's done it all his life, and you know whether you like hunting or not doesn't make it. It's something that he does. He likes, and he's he really enjoys it, and he's really not sure how long he's going to be doing it. But he's hooked up with some people up there who make provisions because of his disability. And he told me on Wednesday, well, the day that was all stormy and everything here, that he was on a road. I said, you're nuts, because I saw the weather forecast. I saw the pattern. It was supposed to be going all the way through Florida, up through Georgia, right? The weather was going to be horrible. I said, dude, what's the matter with you? You're not even going to be able to hunt. And I remembered it's Galen. Friday morning, I get this text. Or Friday about noon, I get this text. He tells me the story. He'd been in his deer stand, which is basically a box. And he only had 5 minutes before the guy was going to come pick him up and take him back to camp. So he unloaded his gun, and he's starting to put all his stuff away. When something caught his attention out there. And he looked outside and he saw this great big buck. I could just see this because I've done that. Yeah, it's like you see. So he reaches down, he puts a bullet in, he pulls it out, boom, he shoots the buck. Come to find out, it's the biggest buck that was ever shot on that property ever. As a matter of fact, he's probably going to make a magazine. You know, in Georgia, and it scored such a high point that it's going to be in one of the, what do they call that? It'll be in a magazine. They have a scale point. 150, no, they do a scale. This is like 150 point. So in other words, Galen's about to be famous for this deer he shot, you know? But I remember when Galen went deer hunting and he missed. Because he failed to sight in his rifle. And I remember he was really kind of dejected and down and low because he saw the deer and he brought it up and he shot and he missed and he wasn't happy. Now something has happened with Galen. Yeah, I'm probably going to be in a magazine. Boone and Crockett is the scoring guy. I probably set a record in Georgia. 150 point deer. Now, Galen and I, because of what, and make sure you tell Keith this, Galen and I are going Tuesday to go hog hunting. because he gave me the number. Oh, you're like, oh yeah. But Keith had hooked him up with a guy who is who does this for disabled veterans, you know. So now I'm hearing,
well, I don't really care if I get anything.
He talked the guy into letting me go too. He goes,
as long as you get something, I'm happy.
You see the attitude. You see what's happening. It changed all the way from like, I hope I see something, to
it don't matter.
You see how we range and how we react to people? How we react to what we're doing? When we know the goal and we've met the goal, we can say, yes, that's awesome. Let you take a try. But when we're just sitting back and we're not doing it right, or something goes wrong, or we have failed to be prepared, we kind of lose track of where we're going. What is your focus? What is it that keeps you up? Because I want to tell you, how many find that life can be extremely discouraging at times? It can be down a lot. I ask questions of the master all the time. I pick up the crown that's laying in the dirt and I'm like, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? I'm standing on the corner. I'm holding up gospel signs. I'm hollering to people. I mean, what more do you want? Because I want my life song to sing to Jesus. That's my goal. That's my focus. It's not this plus that. It's that plus everything else. Are you focusing on what your gift is, what your call is, what your goal is? Because everybody has a part. Everybody has a role. What is your focus? What is your... Who in your family? Who in your workplace? Who in your circle of friends does not know Jesus? And are you focusing on praying for them, jabbing at them with the gospel, or whatever you need to do to bring the peace, bring that gospel of peace into their life? Or you just kind of go, well, I haven't seen anything in so long, I'm just not even going to bother. I believe no matter what happens with this election, and still too soon, I am still encouraging you to pray. I fully believe that Israel, which will be, and the United States, are the two eyeballs where God likes to place his attention. So why not us? Why not continue to bless us? But the point is, in these coming days, we may be asking a lot of questions of ourselves. Are you prepared to really look through your life and say, Lord, where do you want me to focus? What do you want me to do? Because it's going to get tough. If not now, it will be soon. It's going to get tough. Are you facing with courage? I'd like you to have, as I close, I'd like you to open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. That's not Philippians, Gemma. It's Philippians. I'd like you to read chapter 1 and 2, and I'd like you to go through your Bible and maybe circle every time you see the word you or yourself, because this is about you. This is all about you. If you, chapter 2, verse 1, have any encouragement from being united with Christ. How many here have encouragement by being united in Christ? He's talking to you. If you have any comfort from his love. How many here have comfort from Christ's love? Amen. There you go. If any of you have fellowship with the Spirit. How many of you have fellowship with the Spirit? Okay. If any tenderness, if you have compassion, then you make my joy complete by what? Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. That's the goal of the church. That we all be united for one goal, one purpose, for one mission. Do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That pretty much kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? We're not a bunch of little kids basking above, bouncing a basketball down, trying to look good. We are here to try to make Jesus known and to strengthen one another and serve one another, that the mission of Christ will complete in our world. People are going to be to heaven. Will you make that your focus as we come upon this Thanksgiving pretty soon? Would you open up your eyes and see where God would have you go, where He'd like you to minister? Would you pay attention to that? Show up. Come. Be part of the group. Be part of the body. Because you know what? None of us are getting out of this alive. You know that? And the only thing we get to take with us is what we do here for the King. Let's pray. Father God,